we touched on this issue on the programme yesterday's newspaper review, but we said we'd follow up on it this morning because it's been making headlines over the last 24 hours. Ireland's National Autism Charity said it is deeply concerned by the decision of the Child Adolescent Mental Health Services, or CAMHS, to exclude autistic people and their families from the upcoming audit of its services. As I Am said, the decision was regressive and sets out to exclude a number of autistic people. This was set out in a statement yesterday morning. The Deputy CEO of As I Am, Fiona Ferris, is on the line now. Fiona, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks very much for having me.
Just explain to us, first of all, what this audit of the CAMHS services is about and why you feel as though the autistic people are being excluded.
Yes, of course. So the audit has come about following a review that took place in Kerry, and they've now decided to extend it nationwide, I suppose, to look at the practices of prescribing medications to children and adults who are attending the services of CAMHS. Now, what I would point out, first of all, is that autistic children make up a huge number of those who are attending CAMHS, the Children and Adults Mental Health Services. And they are attending not because of their autism diagnosis, but because of co-occurring mental health difficulties, which leads them to present with significant mental health support needs. What CAMHS is proposing, which is excluding those with a primary diagnosis of autism, is going to lead to a serious lack of transparency, but also a failure to plan and to future-proof supports accurately based on need.
So just explain to us as well the difference, because you mentioned their primary diagnosis of autism. I note that the review is to include autistic people with a co-occurring formal mental health condition. It doesn't include those with a primary diagnosis. So just differentiate there between those for us, please.
Yes, absolutely. So there are many autistic people on mental health medication that do not have a formal mental health diagnosis. Therefore, these are the cohort of the community that CAMHS are proposing to exclude. The reason being given for the exclusion of this cohort is that they are under the care of the disability network team, and that has no basis because there aren't actually any psychiatrists on these teams, and therefore any medication that is being prescribed is already being done so through CAMHS. So they are being supported and receiving services through CAMHS, through medication prescription. So this audit needs to include all people availing of its services. And people are going to ask, if not, why not? What isn't being disclosed here? What is with, you know, what is the issue with the lack of transparency? There's so many questions here that really need to be answered.
You also say there's already a rock bottom level of trust within the autistic community for service providers.
That is entirely accurate. And this comes from a lack of access to any kind of support, to diagnosis, to occupational therapy, psychological services, school places. And of course, now what we're seeing is a gatekeeping of mental health supports based on diagnosis. And we certainly cannot support that. So we are saying that excluding any autistic person leads to a lack of transparency. Whenever there's already this rock bottom level of trust, people are going to rightly so ask why, because this is blatant discrimination from services which have already shown to be leaving our community behind.
Okay, and finally on this issue, As I Am calling on the Minister with Responsibility for Mental Health, Mary Butler, to urgently sanction the inclusion of all autistic people within the CAMHS review. In terms of where we are with this review, is there a possibility that it can be revisited and those autistic people can be included?
There is always a possibility that this can be revisited, and that is why we are urging Minister Butler to sanction the inclusion of all autistic people. We have also contacted the office of Anne Rabbitt, the Minister of State for Disability, to ask for her support in actioning this and ensuring that a full sanction of the inclusion of every autistic person in receipt of CAMHS support is included as part of this review.
All right, and just before we let you go, Fiona, there was another associated, well, I suppose, lightly associated article in The Independent. They carried out an investigation regarding waiting lists and the amount of time that parents and indeed children are waiting to get a diagnosis with autism. Those lists very high in the Midlands around Laois, Westmeath, and perhaps even into Kildare as well. What's your reaction to the length of time? I think maybe 4 years. years some people are waiting to get a diagnosis.
It's absolutely unacceptable, because 4 years is a huge portion of a person's life. And throughout these 4 years, without a diagnosis, that means that a child or an individual, because of course we're looking at teenagers, we're looking at adults as well, who are not receiving that diagnosis and therefore not receiving appropriate services, are not getting access to appropriate education places, are not getting access to the individualised support that they require, and a huge amount of time has passed without their needs being met. And that is unconstitutional. You know, that is, you know, it's breaching the rights of these individuals as citizens of Ireland. So this is something that we're really calling on being actioned. We have been in regular contact with the relevant ministers and the relevant departments, and we have been working and lobbying over the last year to get the innovation strategy for autism action, which will see a more coordinated and coherent and consistent approach to supporting autistic individuals in Ireland.
Okay, on those issues relating to autism, that is Fiona Ferris, the Deputy CEO of the charity, the National Autism Charity As I Am. Fiona, thanks for joining us on the programme this morning.
Thanks so much.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Now, I want to wish the very best of luck to Abby Pender tonight with the Kildare Miners. That comes in from her granddad, aunts, uncles, cousin in Carberry, and all the family there. They're all so, so proud of her. And we'll be talking to Darren Kendrick, the Kildare Miner manager, at around about 10:45 this morning, looking ahead to that All-Ireland semi-final against Galway. It throws in at 7:30 in Kinnegad, and we'll have updates of that game here on KFM. But the very best of luck to Abby Pender and to all the team, and that comes in from Abby's family. And keep those messages coming into us, 0833 97 97 97. Labour councillor on the Athy Municipal District, Aoife Breslin. Good morning, Aoife.
Morning, Owen, and morning to your listeners.
Before we go to the issues brought forward to the Athy MD meeting, we spoke to Catherine Murphy and Michael Coleman regarding the AIB bank there going cashless in Selbridge. What's your reaction to it going cashless in Athy?
I'm absolutely appalled to think that a bank that we have bailed out over the years, that we have a shareholding in, has turned and thanked the people, particularly the people of Athy and other areas, by doing this. I bank with AIB, and to tell you the truth, I am absolutely appalled at their decision. And I for the staffing levels within AIB, I worry about them as well. But there's an awful lot of people trying to do very good work here in Athy, economically, by developing Athy. And for AIB to make a decision like this, just really sticks up the two fingers, and sticks up the two fingers to the Irish population. And I think it shouldn't be allowed to happen. I know Deputy Jed Nash from the Labour Party and Senator Mark Wall, my colleague, have raised this, and we will continue to raise it. And I think, you know, we need to start a campaign in relation to this, and I'm sure that will happen in the coming days.
All right, okay. And where's the nearest AIB bank then to Athy, Aoife? Where will people have to travel from Athy to?
Well, we could be travelling over the border to Carlow.
Right.
Would be probably the nearest one. You know, then obviously there's Newbridge and Naas. But I mean, there's so many. Like, I deal in my clinics with people that don't do technology. You know, some older people, and they just don't do technology. And this is going to cause them more hardship. We've had people coming out of COVID. You know, society has changed, and not always for the better. And this is just another slap in the face to ordinary people. And to take, you know, considering the amount of money that has been poured into AIB by the government, really and truly shouldn't be allowed to happen and needs to be stopped.
Okay, staying in the Athy area then, and first of all, you were asking the council to begin the process of upgrading the signage on roads in the municipal district area where resurfacing works have been carried out. Did you get a positive response?
I absolutely did. This work is happening and will continue to happen, as you know, or as you may have seen, and definitely Clem will have seen over the last couple of weeks, the great work, resurfacing work that has been done in the south of the county. So the signage along with the resurfacing work has been upgraded and will continue to be, which is a good news story.
Okay, you also wanted confirmation when work on the fencing in the New Line Grove in Kilmeade and Coneyborough Athy agreed as part of the LPT funding allocations would be completed. These are estates, are they, or areas?
They are, yeah. They're estates. One is on the Dublin Road coming into Athy, and the other one is the old Coneyborough on the Carlow Road. This these jobs have been agreed for some time, but unfortunately, I suppose, we're caught in the building boom, you know, trying to get contractors to carry out smaller jobs. But we are the definitive reply from the County Council is that a contractor has been appointed and work will be done before the autumn.
Okay, if we stay in Kilmeade, then it appears there's a dilapidated shed in Kilmeade Graveyard. Are the council going to remove that or sort
they
it out?
Are. I mean, this is an absolutely awful story. You know, people visiting the graveyard have noticed over the last number of weeks and indeed number of months antisocial behaviour that's taken place in this shed by a number of young individuals who are using it as a den and are using it to stay at night and party. And it's caused grave upset to an awful lot of people whose loved ones are in this graveyard. I'm pleased to say finally, through you know the work of Esme O'Neill, supervisor on the CE scheme out there, who has raised a concern to me and other family members, that this shed will be taken down in the next number of weeks.
Okay, and what about the installation of a memorial at St Mary Cemetery in Athy? Did you get an update on that?
I did, but I didn't get a positive update. As you know, I've been on the show numerous times talking about what happened in the hospital, the former St. Vincent's Hospital over the years in the graveyard there. Unfortunately, the memorial, there is no problem in relation to doing that, but the ownership of the site of the graveyard is still not established and hasn't been brought across to KCC. Joe Boland, Director of Service in the Environment, did an awful lot of work trying to establish the ownership of this, but unfortunately we are still waiting on the HSE. That's something that I'm going to have to follow up, and I intend to follow up. I made a commitment on your programme that these people, the suffering, has to be acknowledged, and a memorial, I felt, with other people in the county would be the best way to do it, and that's something I'm not going to give up on.
All right, just one final issue then, Aoife. We got a text in from a listener wondering when are they going to take the boy off the barrow in Athy, because the Triathy is over. Is there an issue there, or do you know anything about it?
No, but it is something I noticed yesterday evening. Maybe we're telepathic, yourself, my listener, in relation to it, because, you know, there is an awful lot of activity on the water at the moment. And it is hampering, I would think it is hampering, but that is something I will follow up today with the Triathy people and see when they are going to remove it.
Okay, great stuff. That is.
And I'll come back to you.
Perfect. Labour councillor on the Athy Municipal District, Aoife Breslin, thanks for joining us this morning, and good morning to you. And just again to reiterate regarding those AIB banks, AIB has said that it's going to make 70 of its 170 branches cashless this autumn, as it claims demand for cash services has dropped and the cost of security has risen. That includes branches in Selbridge, Athy and Eden Derry. The bank has said the move will allow it to focus on other priorities, including mortgages, loans and investments. The cashless banks will come into operation on the 30th of September. That includes those Kildare banks, and October 21st. And AIB says that ATMs will also be removed from those branches. It will broaden cash and cheque services for customers at 25 Kildare post offices, with on-post Saturday service and longer opening hours. And just to mention the closest branches then to those Kildare banks in Selbridge, it's Lucan, in Athy it's Carlow, and Eden Derry it's Newbridge. So that is where people will have to go in order to get full banking services there in relation to AIB. So that is the latest on that. Keep your messages coming into us, 0833 97 97 97.
Now, I'm joined on the line by the Chief Executive of Early Childhood Ireland, that is Teresa Heaney. Good morning to you, Teresa.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I know yourselves that Early Childhood Ireland mightn't, you know, say that about you guys this morning, because you're calling on the government to announce an ambitious 5-year plan to transform the early years and school age care. This was released on Tuesday. This annual funding target and priorities, you say, must be made clear if the government is to meet its commitment to double public investment by 2028. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason for our pre-budget submission, I mean, we're out early with our pre-budget submission because we've heard from government that this year's budget is going to be early. We're expecting it towards the end of September. And this has been an incredible year for early years and school age services. There's been so much outcry by parents that they can't find places for their very young children. There's been calls from those same parents about the cost of childcare. We've heard an outcry from staff about the salaries that they get paid, and we've heard an outcry from operators that their services are just too difficult to
sustain. If we begin, Teresa, just with the parents and the guardians, your organisation, Early Childhood Ireland, has 159 members in Kildare, and they said the planned introduction of the core funding, which has been discussed both on this show and our afternoon show, Kildare Focus, is overdue. Many others providers are saying the exact same thing, but the commitment is welcomed and it will lead to more sustainable provision. These 159 members in Kildare, do they foresee being able to, you know, keep their fees the way they are at the moment with the current cost of living crisis? Because obviously that will impact those who are sending their children to the providers.
So what's happening, what we're expecting to see in September is the introduction of a brand new way of funding services called core funding. Most services in the country have at this stage completed the administration needed, and the contract is out currently and people are considering whether they're going to sign up to it or not. It's a very significant additional investment into the sector. It's $221 million. It was promised in last year's budget, and this September we'll see it. Introduction. And the vast bulk of that money is directed towards staff salaries. So for the past 4 months, there has been labour relations negotiations ongoing in order to agree off rates of pay, minimum rates of pay, for the first time for this sector. So those rates of pay, if they're agreed and accepted, government will pony up the money, I suppose, to fund graduates that work with babies, that work with under ones, and all that is really good in terms of staff retention.
So Teresa, if you're a provider and you don't sign on to this, what does that mean?
That means that you will not be able to offer, you won't get the funding for government to enhance salary scales and enhance those graduate scales. So currently what we have is we have additional capitation provided by government to fund graduates in the free preschool programme. That whole methodology is going to be changed, and the government are now making a greater amount of money available, but they're also saying, but now we want to fund graduates that work with the under ones and the under twos as well. So it's different levels of money, but with this additional €221 million coming into the sector.
Now, Teresa, to note that just last week, there were childcare providers condemning the government's plan. They said it was unsustainable, unworkable. This was a demonstration outside Leinster House. This is the Federation of Early Childcare Providers. They said that the creche and preschool owners, they're committed to a series of closures in September over the government's core funding.
I mean, obviously, I can't comment on another organisation's position and that their demonstration last week. At the moment, we're monitoring very closely closures. We contact TUSLA on a weekly basis to see how many closures there are, how many closures have been notified.
Let me ask you this week, how many closures were there?
We haven't been in touch with them this week. But
your
so
most
far,
recent figures, how many closures?
It's very much in keeping with the same numbers of closures that have been. It's year on year. It doesn't seem to be very different so far, but it's very, very important that we all keep a very close eye to what is happening on this, because at the moment, parents in Kildare would already report that it's very hard. I live in Kildare myself. I would hear parents all the time talking about how hard it is to get places for children.
Your own,
under the age of one.
Your own childcare service, have you been able to keep your prices down? Have you increased them at all over the past few months?
Oh, I don't have a service. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Early Childhood Ireland. We have about 4,000 members of services across the country. And I would have to say, just on that basis, our phone line would generally be people, our members would be calling us for guidance on what's happening in core funding, what's happening with the industrial relations discussions. The other big thing that we're expecting to see, because there's been a lot of kite flying by government about a new mechanism to address the question of affordability for parents, because as we know, that's a huge, huge challenge. You'd often hear parents reporting paying anywhere up to €1,000 a month for childcare, depending on what part of the country that they're living in, which is a shocking amount of money out of after-tax income that parents find themselves having to pay. And that, not while that is an issue, even with that, they often can't even find a place. So what we're hearing from the Minister and from government is that there are plans to really enhance the National Childcare Scheme in terms of the amounts of money that are made available to families via the National Childcare Scheme. And that's very welcome. But one of the things we would be very concerned about is whether or not parents have completed the administration that they will need in order to be able to access those supports. Now, government is saying that they intend to make those supports available immediately and not next September, not September 2023, which often happens with government budgetary introductions, that it can take quite a few months to see those put in place. What we're hearing is that that's going to happen very, very quickly. So parents, that means that parents will probably need to have a public services card. Many may already have that, many may not. So we really think that if the government is intending making an announcement of that kind in this forthcoming budget, then it's really important that there is some kind of a communications campaign so that parents can get themselves ready and get that administration complete so that they can access that support as quickly as it becomes available.
Yourselves at Early Childhood Ireland have said that parents in this county, Kildare, pay some of the highest fees from take-home pay in the EU. And back in June, there was a survey released on this. And I believe on average here in County Kildare, parents are paying nearly €850 a month for childcare. Now, if you note, it was €844 on average in 2018. The figure this year was €850. And in 2013, the figure was €814. So it has to be said, in terms of changes, Kildare parents and guardians haven't seen that much of a difference. If we look, you know, even closer to us here in Dublin, some parents are paying over €1,200. So it looks as if Kildare has stayed pretty even in terms of the changes.
It is, but isn't it a shocking amount of money at the same time? Out of, as I said, you know, Irish parents pay the highest in Europe out of their after-tax income for their early years service, and school-age services are even becoming more and more challenging. And, you know, it'd be important as well to introduce into our discussion today that all of these supports are available to parents who use childminders if the childminder is regulated, is registered with TUSLA. And that's really important because childminding continues to be a choice for a lot of parents, but the current way that registration is organised means that a lot of childminders actually can't register with TUSLA. So there is a government plan, a childminding action plan, and we would really like to see that fast-tracked so that the parents who are using those childminders can access these same supports that centre-based parents use, and that the supports that the childminders will need will also become available as quickly as possible. And I think, you know, we have a very complex system of early years in Ireland. We have a lot of term time services, preschool services, and then we have creches. We have some that are run by for-profit organisations, some are run by community organisations. But then we have maybe up to 30,000 childminders that are a very important part of the system. But the system is constructed in such a way at the moment that very few of them have access to it. And we would really like to see that being, as I said, fast-tracked as soon as possible as well. All of this all comes back to historic, over the years, historic underinvestment in our sector. And what we're seeing is intervention by government to finally address some of these problems, the problems of low wages, the problems of affordability, and the questions of sustainability.
Okay.
I mean, we also, for example, really need
Teresa,
to...
Teresa, I'm caught for time here now this morning. I'm sorry. I'm
no
very
problem.
Caught for time. Thank you so much for joining me. That is Teresa Heaney. She's the Chief Executive of Early Childhood Ireland, and that is their pre-budget submission. I have heard of parents, you know, getting in touch saying that they are having to pay for a week and it's only, you know, 2 or 3 days their child is needing, parents or guardians, that is. So if you're listening and you have a story about childcare in this county or the area, do get in touch with us. We always love to hear about the actual stories, I guess, that are out there. It's 0833 97 97 97 for the text or WhatsApp. You can also phone us here 045 898 999. If you'd like to stay anonymous, that's absolutely fine. fine. You can also email studio@kfmradio.com.
Yeah, one such message has come into us as well, echoing what Teresa has said there, Kira, and it says parents are paying ridiculous prices for childcare, but the staff are still on minimum wage or just above. I work in this sector and get €11 an hour and have to sign on during the summer holidays and get €90 a week. And this listener questioning, what are staff going to get under this new model? So we'll have to wait and see what comes out of the budget. But Teresa Heaney, the CEO of Early Childhood Ireland, joining us on the programme this morning. Thanks indeed, Teresa, for that. Moving on then, and Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North, James Lawless is on the line. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm not too bad. James, we're going to talk about Gael Coláiste in Maynooth in a few moments' time. Kildare North TD seeking a permanent facility for that school. But I just want to get your reaction to the closures of the banks. I know we've been talking about it for quite a while here on the programme, but listeners are very, very angry and upset, particularly in Selbridge, Athy and Eden Derry, with AIB announcing they're going to go cashless. Obviously, Selbridge in your constituency. What do you make of it?
Well, look, it's been a pattern that's coming for a while. It is disappointing. We saw the Bank of Ireland pull out first of a few of those towns. AIB seem to be following suit. I was speaking to somebody recently that wanted to... They were given three cheques, a workman, and one of the cheques was AIB. And when he said he's going to hand the three of them in to his branch of a different bank, he still knows he has to go to the post office with his AIB cheque. And he was just saying how difficult it actually is becoming to get paid. On the other hand, what I would say is that we are becoming more cashless. We are becoming more au fait with electronic transactions, and even the likes of Revolut that a lot of us would now have on our phones. And in a way, it's much easier and, dare I say, safer if people are not going around cash in their pockets or with cheques, etc., on them, because there is always room for, I suppose, error, and there's a security issue around that. So in a way, I think that...
But the argument, James, is people are still going to go around with cash on them, because we're now being told that people are going to have to go to Lucan, Carlow, or if you're in Eden Derry, you'll have to go to Newbridge. So we're just shifting the problem elsewhere. If people want cash, they're going to get cash. They just can't get it in their town.
Sure. I actually don't know if people do. I suppose personal experience, people I would speak to day to day, a lot of transactions now, people you say, look, pay me on Revolut. Will you get me on Revolut? Everything from gym fees to, you know, workmen to trades, repairs, sort of, you know, I suppose casual payments. A lot of people saying, will you get me on Revolut? I find more and more people saying that now, you know, in day to day life. So that, I suppose that pattern is there. But look, we have to manage it in a gradual fashion, and we have to manage it. People need to be able to go into a bank and talk to a human being, and they need to be able to take money out or put money in or have a conversation about something else. You know, be that a loan, be it a savings inquiry, be it something goes wrong. And unfortunately, technology does go wrong, and we saw a lot of issues over the last couple of years with the big banks' IT systems, where even at one stage, wages weren't being lodged in time to people's bank accounts. And that's really, really serious. And that could mean someone's mortgage payment gets missed through no fault of their own. So I think any of these moves can only work if they're accompanied with a very significant investment in technology at the backbone of it all, because the system has to be working absolutely rock solid before you take away that customer interaction.
Okay, we'll leave it there, because we have been talking about it since the start of the programme this morning, but the messages just keep coming into us here on the programme. If we go to Maynooth then, and you, yourself obviously, and the rest of your Kildare North TD colleagues calling for a permanent facility for the Gael Coláiste in Maynooth, give us some background to this story, James.
Sure. So there was a campaign, I remember actually during the 2016 general election and even probably the 2014 local election, there was a campaign, it was a big issue in the doors back then, to get a secondary school through the medium of Gaeilge in Kildare, in North Kildare, and around the Maynooth Leix of Selbridge area in particular. And that, I suppose, followed the success of the Gaelic school at primary level, which is well established now across the county, with many, many children attending primary school through Irish. I have to congratulate Colin McCruel, father of the current mayor of the county, Councillor Nisha Cruel, because the Cruel family and Colm in particular really ran with that for several, I'd say actually decades, to really lead that campaign. And that finally bore fruit 3 years ago when the Gael Coláiste was established in Maynooth to cater for that North Kildare area. Now, it is in temporary accommodation. It's in the old Manor Mills, and your listeners may be aware that the old Maynooth post-primary school was in there for a while as well. Transition years were going there. They moved up to their new campus up the Moygrave Road, and the old rooms that were left behind in Manor Mills are now occupied by the Gael Coláiste. So the plan for them is long term or medium term to move to the old Maynooth Post primary site, because that school building opposite the church there, opposite Manor Mills, is now unoccupied because they've moved up to the new home. And really, we're trying to get the department to, I suppose, give an indication what the plan is. So I raised this in the Lord Chamber with the Minister last week. I've also written to the Minister and spoken to the Minister directly about it, looking to arrange a meeting for the Board of Management and the Principal with the Minister in September, and that's confirmed.
Minister Norma Foley wasn't in the Dáil Chamber last week, but Malcolm Noonan gave this response in relation to it. And James, you'll just hear this minute and a half clip from Malcolm Noonan, and we'll get your response to it after.
I just want to get an opportunity to outline to the House the position regarding the provision of permanent accommodation for Gael Coláiste and Maynooth, County Kildare. As the Deputy may be aware, Gael Coláiste and Maynooth was established in 2020 as a multi-denominational Irish medium Gael Coláiste under the patronage of Kildare and Wicklow Education Training Board. The school has a current enrolment of 66 pupils for 2021-22 school year. The school is currently located in interim accommodation in Manor Mills, pending delivery of permanent accommodation. In relation to the permanent accommodation solution for the school, it is intended that Gael Coláiste will be located in the former Maynooth Post Primary School building. Pending delivery of the school's permanent accommodation, the department recently approved funding to KWETB to undertake refurbishment works in the former Maynooth Post Primary School property to facilitate access to additional specialist accommodation by Gael Coláiste Maynooth. This accommodation includes science, woodwork and home economics rooms. The delivery of the refurbishment project has been devolved to KWETB for delivery. The Department of Education understands that this project is due to be completed within the next 2 months. With regard to determining the options available in meeting Gael Coláiste's permanent accommodation needs, the Department of Education permitted KWETB to carry out an option study of the former post-primary school building, which is in KWETB's ownership, in order to ensure that optimal use is made of the property. And in support of the achievement of value for money, KWETB appointed a consultant to undertake an option study of the property concerned. KWETB has furnished the option study report to the department, and this is currently being assessed. The department is examining the proposals put forward in the study, and it is in the department's intention to consult with KWETB regarding this matter in the near future, with a view to finalising a long-term plan for the school. I hope that will be welcomed by the deputies.
Briefly on that, James, is it welcome by the deputies?
No, it is, of course. It is. I suppose to an extent it's not all news, because some of that was known. I suppose one thing that came out of that debate which is useful is that there had been an understanding locally that the department were a hold-up, but actually what the Minister clarified, and I did speak to Norma Foley directly on this as well, even though she wasn't in the Chamber that day, I did a separate conversation directly with her, that money is actually being provided to KWETB, so it's up to them now, I suppose, to spend it and do that refurbishment in the interim. So the department have actually approved that funding and it's been sent down, so KWETB have to do their bit now. But in terms of the next stage, you know, after that interim repair or refurbishment, the big question is, do they knock and build a brand new school on that site? Or do they do a full refurbishment of the old building? And that's what the department are looking at the moment. And as I say, I have a meeting arranged for the school with the Minister in September. And I suppose that would be a good opportunity for all involved to say, look, what would be the preference, perhaps, of the school community? What way is the Minister thinking? We might know more by then in terms of that options study being considered. And the other thing I just want to mention, this is a cross-party effort as well. You know, Deputy Cronin, Deputy Durkin, Deputy Murphy, the four of us are at one of this. Generally, we work well together on these kind of issues, and this one is no different. So there's no point scoring here. This is something where we're all putting the white jersey on and going into bat for the county.
OK, finally, James, before I let you go, the Irish Mail on Sunday reporting a significant number are warning Fianna Fáil TDs, that is, warning they won't support Leo Varadkar's term unless Micheál Martin stands down as party leader before the next general election. Will you be supporting Micheál Martin to remain on as Fianna Fáil leader?
Well, look, I think this story is a bit paradoxical. I've never before heard in my life a Fianna Fáil person threatening that if the leader of Fianna Fáil changes, the reward is they'll vote for Fine Gael. I mean, it makes no sense to me. The thinking is a bit warped, I think. I suppose, look, what I would say is what I've said all along. I think we need a fresh approach going to the next election. That is still a number of years away. We have an arrangement in place. We have a government that is delivering well. There are billions being pumped into every corner of the country, not least North Kildare. And really the government has its sleeves up getting on with it, despite COVID, despite Ukraine, despite Brexit, all the multiple geopolitical challenges, it's doing quite well. So I think, look, we have a job of work to do. When it comes to the next election in 24, 25, that's 2 or 3 years away, we have to take a wide look at the whole team and the whole package that we're offering. And of course that includes the leader, but it also includes the front bench, includes the ministerial team, it includes me, it includes every one of us, councillors, TDs, none of us are immune from, I suppose, review and see can we do better.
Is there a split within Fianna Fáil at the moment, James? Because we heard news a couple of weeks ago of backbenchers meeting to discuss policy. I don't think that included Micheál Martin. So, you know, are the party all working together and rowing in the same direction?
I was at that meeting. I think it was a positive meeting. I think in any organisation, there's never a problem with a group getting together and comparing notes and comparing ideas. I mean, a number of us would have been doing it informally, you know, long back before the meeting 2 weeks ago. I think it's good practice in any group or any team that, you know, the backs get together, the forwards get together, you know, they do a scrum, they do a debrief. And that's what we did that day. And it was very welcome, very useful. I'm sure it was.
Should it have included the leader of the party?
Well, no, because, you know, you have different type of meetings. You have a very formal parliamentary party meeting every Wednesday night, which we had again last Wednesday. We have it every week. And that's a meeting that's very structured. There's a very definite agenda. There's very particular Dáil business, Shannon business. The work of that week is on the agenda, and there's really not much scope for anything else. So sometimes you need a breakout session to say, well, look, let's take a look at the wider view outside of the pressures of the particular week that we're in and see, look, what else, you know, let's look around and see what else we get usefully put our shoulder to. So that's the kind of discussion that it was. I found it very constructive. I think there's a good sense of purpose coming out of it. It was probably a little bit revitalising in a sense, and it was a good thing to do coming towards the end of the Dáil term.
Okay, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North, James Lawless. Thanks for joining us this morning, James, and good morning to you.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Well, it's a big night and a very exciting night for the Kildare Minor Ladies football team. They play in the All-Ireland semi-final against Galway at 7:30 in Kinnegad. And we'll have live updates of that match with Tara Byrne on the K-Country programme with Dave McGrath. And on the line now is the Minor Ladies manager, Darren Kendrick. Darren, good morning. Welcome to the programme.
Morning, John. How are you?
I'm not too bad. It's a big, big night, as I say. I'm sure the girls looking forward to the All-Ireland semi-final. You had a great win in the Leinster A final, but all the hard work now comes down to this evening.
This is it, 100%. Girls are really looking forward to it. They put in all the preparation, done all the work. As you mentioned there, they won the A final. Huge achievement, never been done before. And the girls are really like just going to give it everything tonight.
Yeah, talk us through that A final as well, because it was a superb performance to get that silverware and book your place in the All Ireland semi final. But it was a tough game, a tough test.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, look, we knew, as I think I mentioned to you before, neither got there or Mara, just like ourselves. They weren't going to turn around and just hand it to you. We knew that from playing them previously in the rounds. We've been preparing from this from day one. The plan was to try and make an A final at first. Obviously, try and go on and win it, but the game itself, how it started and how it finished, I think we were just in control the whole time.
Absolutely, and you come out with the victory. You now move on, as we say, to the All-Ireland semi-final, which is this evening against Galway. They're the Connacht champions, and I suppose Kildare and Galway always have history, and they'll be a formidable opponent.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, even with that, I mean, look, it's the provincial champions of Connacht, as you say, similar to me. They're going in there with one vision and one vision only to take it from Kildare and get into the All-Ireland final themselves. The other thing about it is, the other part, I suppose, that plays a part in it, is their management group is none other than Daniel Moynihan, who was their manager the last 4 years, so he'll understand what we're going to be coming for as well, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say that to you, actually. Daniel Moynihan, obviously the manager of the senior team for the last 4 years here in Kildare. He's gone back to his native Galway now to look after the minor team with a good backroom team there as well. But in terms of the Kildare point of view, we mentioned this to Pat Travers on the programme a few days ago, as the under-16s won the All-Ireland title. Between the under-14s, 16s and the minors, there is a great number of girls coming through the ranks, and the future is bright here in the county.
Oh, without a doubt, totally agree. I mean, I think the players have always been there. I think it just has to be harnessed, right? That seems to be the case now. And I think the future, there's no reason why Kildare can't, I suppose, emulate what Meath have done in the last couple of years. I do think there's a good strength there coming through. with the 14s in the B, the 16s in the B, and the minors in the A going forward. Now, everything's going forward, and I think, and that to the seniors doing well this year as well in the intermediate, I do think, as I say, like a cliche, but the future is bright until there for football.
Yeah, and just finally then, Darren, in terms of the preparations over the last couple of weeks, it's been a while since you played that Leinster final, so you've had time now to regroup, and it comes down to the game tonight. What's the preparations been like? I mean, the ultimate thing is to win the game, but also All-Ireland semi-finals don't come around that often, and I'm sure you'd be saying to the girls, go out and enjoy it.
Oh, 100%. I mean, look, we had our final preparations Monday evening. Basically, the group are just ready for it. Like, I mean, one of the comments from one of our players turned around at the very end of the training session, I just want to get going now. Like, I just really want to get in there and play the game. I mean, look, I'm absolutely delighted for the players. We got the final. We won the final well. They've gone the whole year now unbeaten in competitive games. So, I mean, you have to go unbeaten now the whole way for the last two games to win the All-Ireland. But, look, we're ready. They're totally ready for it. Like, they are ready. No stone has been unturned, like, left unturned for two don't get this done, do you know?
Well, listen, the very best of luck tonight. 7:30 throw-in in Kinnegad. If you can get down and support the girls against Galway, if you can't make it, then we'll be covering it with Tara Byrne throwing in at 7:30 here on KFM. Darren, the very best of luck to yourself and the team.
Oh, fair play to you. Thanks very much for that. Appreciate it.
Some messages coming in as well, by the way, Darren, that you might be happy to hear, particularly being a Sarsfields man as well. Best of luck to the Kildare Minor ladies in the All-Ireland A semi-final tonight, especially the Sarsfields ladies. Super achievement from the team this year. Well done to all involved. And as we said as well, there was also a message. Could you please wish Abby Pender the very best of luck tonight with the Kildare Minors from her granddad, aunts, uncles and cousin in Carbery. They're all so proud of her and the achievement of the entire team. Well, let's get the details of the squad then for the Kildare Minor ladies to face Galway tonight. Ciara Noble.
Tonight's starting 15, Selbridge's Niamh Barnes in goals. The full back line, Niamh Hayes of Maynooth, Emer Glancy, St Lawrence's, Anya Myrna, Eadstown. The half backs, Molly O'Loughlin, Kilcullen, Ruth Sargent, Eadstown, Olivia Monaghan, Kilcullen. In centre field, captain Amy Larne of Castle Mitchell and Hannah Breen of Kilcullen. The half forwards, Sophie and Guy, Kilcullen, Ellie Kendrick, Sarsfields, Ava Cullen, Maynooth. The full forwards, Grace Murta, Milltown, Maya Doyle, Ballymore, Edwina Birchall, Kilcullen. The rest of the squad, Shefer Kelly of Kildangan, Nerney, Joy Duggan, Raheens, Myrne O'Loughlin, Sarsfields, Anna Carpenter, Salins, Zara Beattie, Sarsfields, Keevy Collins, Confey, Abby Pender, Carberry, Claudia Gray, Raheens, Erin Brereton, Foley, Castle Mitchell, Emer Riley, 2 Mile House, Kira Kelly, Kildangan, Nerney, Katie Halpin, St. Lawrence's, Niamh Farley, Kill, Shefer Galvin, Sarsfields, and Kira MacDonald, Maynooth.